You are listening to a sermon by Janet Bolt, recorded on Sunday, March 23rd, 2025, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Good morning, everyone. And thank you for the beautiful readings of scripture this morning. I appreciated that. As I sat down already on February 1st to begin conceptualizing this sermon, I held disparate emotions. On Wednesday that week, my friend's 30-year-old daughter was one of 67 to perish in a fiery accident in the sky over Washington, D.C. That news was and continues to be devastatingly personal. As I prepared, our neighbor to the south was using bullying tactics to force compliance with his goals and wreaking havoc on millions of lives. Ukraine continued at war, Gaza and Israel still at war, a friend, Rosie, ill in the hospital, a relative dying of cancer. A snowstorm kept me home. As I read through our lectionary passages, I was struck by several themes. I heard them again today as we read them together. There's a traditional Lenten theme of repentance, but there's also a surprising theme of abundance, and this certainly created a conundrum for me. I will begin with the theme of abundance. Our prophet Isaiah loudly proclaims, "Come and get it." A large feast is offered freely, with water to quench thirst, and milk to provide nourishment, and wine for celebration and dancing. No tariffs. The poor, the destitute, and the landless, those who find themselves in a wilderness of their own making, or due to someone else's, are all included in the invitation. Diverse populations, everyone is included, and everyone gets the same abundance in equal measure. Come and get it. God's invitation is on his own initiative and extremely generous. Our psalmist knows this too. He has experienced God's abundance in the past, even though in this moment he finds himself in an arid place with a discouraged heart. Somehow, as he clings to God, thirst and hunger are met with abundance. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, he writes. And he finds himself joyfully praising God, even in his tough circumstances. But what seems to be a free invitation from God is different than we expect. We discover that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are mysterious. There's a conundrum here because the abundance of the feast is given to the vulnerable and the humble, the broken and the needy, not to those who are self-sufficient and have already figured out how to feed themselves. It is not given to those who are careful not to be too vulnerable. The conundrum in these passages relates, I believe, to an old, old belief of biblical times and our modern day, that God's rewards and punishments are commensurate on human behavior. In Luke's gospel text, we read that some people came to the rabbi Jesus and pointed out that Pilate was a cruel bully, and his actions resulted in the death of many. The implication in their question was that these people were punished by God for something they had done. The questioners somehow thought they had been exempt from Pilate's cruel actions because they were better people. Jesus, of course, complicated this simple analysis by referring to a random accident of a tower falling and crushing men, women, and children, like a helicopter crashing into a jetliner. Jesus pointed out that neither of these incidents were caused by sin, as if one person's offense was greater than another. Both were tragedies, and a simple check and balance sheet was invalid. God's ways and thoughts are mysterious and past explanation. As C.S. Lewis wrote, God is good, but not safe. Thus the Lenten theme emerges, repentance. The come and get it invitation is free, but only for those who want it and need it, those who have repentant hearts and know their own inner darkness. We know for ourselves, don't we, that one of life's toughest works is in the receiving. Like the story of the 10 men miraculously healed of disease, yet only one truly received it with gratitude. We learn from the Corinthian passage that there were many Israelites who were witnesses to God's miraculous abundance. Paul lists God's provisions and highlights amazing acts of God experienced by a people caught up in the desperation of a wilderness. Yet, Paul writes, these same people were those who made their own ambitions and wealth more important than God. They were carried by a generous God through the wilderness, but neglected gratitude, perhaps because they thought they deserved more. The Israelites were like those men who questioned Jesus, the ones who thought they were just a little bit better than those who had died at Pilate's hand. Repentance. Traditionally, in both the Hebrew and Greek, three dimensions were implied. Remorse, which means genuine sorrow. Restitution, which means doing everything possible to restore what has been destroyed. And renewal, which was a complete change in relationship and mindset. I'm sure you've heard the quote by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, where he said, cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. When repentance shows up, it is evidenced by a turning away from self-sufficiency, pride, and ingratitude, and turning towards greater love for God and all of God's creation. Without this change, the tree reveals itself as barren. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, repeat the gospel writers. In Interpersonal Conflict, the authors Hawker and Wilmot identify forgiveness as something that requires an act of imagination because it invites us to consider a future that is not merely a reaction to the past. It requires movement as in a long journey. Well, I believe repentance too requires an act of the imagination. It cannot be for the self-sufficient or the faint of heart. There has to be imagination to see a fruit-bearing fig tree in place of the one that has been barren for 3 years. There has to be courage to imagine that one can be more kind, more compassionate, more grateful, and to imagine that prideful self-sufficiency can be transformed into gratitude and humility toward God. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 10 reads, so if you think you are standing firm, watch out that you do not fall. Another translation reads, take heed. The analogy in Paul's letter is a visual one for me and perhaps for you as well. When my husband and I walk in unfamiliar places, we are learning to watch out. To fall is more likely than we think, when a hip is weak or one's balance is off. And to fall often has serious consequences. So we keep our eyes open and pay attention. We try to take heed. On February the 22nd, I had the privilege with Ernie of watching the memorial service for Kia Duggins, the daughter of my friend. I had hoped to be in Wichita with them, but was unable to. So Ernie and I watched the 3-hour service on live stream. We were both struck by the juxtaposition of intense loss and celebration. It was an African-American service in style. Full woman's choir, dozens of speakers, and a steady, ongoing heartbeat of scripture. The pastor who moderated the service explained how in their tradition, one could be dancing in one moment and weeping in the next. And that's exactly what we saw. In some of our memorials here, we more and more seem to wean out any suggestion of making a funeral into a salvation plea. For this Tabernacle Bible community in Wichita, they unabashedly made everything they said to be a call to repent and say yes to God. Kia's life, one of commitment to civil rights and human dignity, was a testimony in the midst of dark places. And this church called everyone listening that day to the same commitment of faith. They asked repeatedly where God was nudging us to say yes to God's invitation. As each of us have listened to scripture today, we can't help but recognize God's abundant generosity and the need for a repentant and grateful heart. So my question today is, what is God calling you and I to do in response? Where do we need to take heed? Gratefully, we have the assurance in the letter to the church at Corinth that God is faithful and kind. God understands us and is alongside to help us. In the Indigenous translation, I found this beautiful verse that I think sums up today's themes. It's Matthew 5:5. Creator's blessing rests on the ones who walked softly and in a humble manner. The earth, land, and sky will welcome them and always be their home. To end my sermon, I've asked my husband Ernie to sing a song, and the song is entitled Holy Now by Peter Mayer. I believe this song beautifully reminds us of the abundance of God's presence in the world and our call to take heed and live with gratitude and humility.
When I was a boy each week, on Sunday we would go to church and pay attention to the priest, and he would read the holy word, consecrate the holy bread, and everyone would kneel and bow. Today the only difference is everything is holy now. Everything, everything, everything is holy now. When I was in Sunday school, we would learn about the time Moses split the sea in two, and Jesus made the water wine. And I remember feeling sad that miracles don't happen still, but now I can't keep track, 'cause everything's a miracle. Everything, everything, everything is a miracle. From water is no not so small. But an even better magic trick is that anything is here at all. So the challenging thing becomes not to look for miracles, but thinking where there isn't one. When holy water was rare at best, it barely fingertips, but now I have to hold my breath like I'm swimming in a sea of it. It used to be a world half there, heaven second rate hand me down, but I walk it with a reverent air, 'cause everything is holy now. Everything, everything, everything is holy now. Reading a child's face and say it's not a testament, that'd be very hard to say. It's not a sacrament, I tell you that it can't be done. This morning outside I stood, saw a little red-winged bird shining like a burning bush and singing like a scripture verse. It made me want to bow my head. I remember when church let out. Oh, how things have changed since then, 'cause everything is holy now. It used to be a world out there, heaven second rate hand me down, but I walk it with a reverent air, 'cause everything is holy.